Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast. The Heidi Harris Show.
Hello, St. Louis!
Heidi Harris. The Heidi Harris Show is on the air.
How's everybody doing? Good evening. Every Sunday night, 7 to 9 p.m. right here on 97.1 FM Talk. Was thrilled to hear, as I was preparing for my show and listening to 97 News, of course, as always. Ethan and I were listening to Ryan Wiggins, Wiggins America. So thrilled that the show is before mine on Sunday night. So I'm thrilled about that. Ryan Wiggins, one of my favorite people. Can I just say for a moment, and I'm not being prejudiced when I say that, what a great, great group of people. And 97.1 FM Talk. I mean, I cannot tell you how many talented people work there. It's just incredible. And so it's a privilege to be a part of this crazy group of dysfunctional people. All of us in radio are slightly dysfunctional, but it's really a great group. All right, lots to get to today. Of course, we're going to talk about the Pelosi thing a little bit because that's crazier by the minute. We, of course, will talk about the St. Louis shooting, which is also just tragic and heartbreaking. Got some election information. The GOP is doing well in a lot of states. And you know, the Democrats are, they don't know what to do because their message isn't working. Well, right, because most people in America don't subscribe to what you want to do with the country. So we'll get to all of that coming up. And I'm very excited to welcome to the show tonight, Dr. Aaron Curiotti. Now, he is a guy I've been following since the very beginning of the pandemic. He will join me next hour. And here's why. He's a psychiatrist. He was a psychiatrist in California at UC Irvine, so University of California, Irvine. And he initially was on board with some of the COVID things that were happening, like most of us were. Most of us were, wait a minute, pandemic? Okay, I can make some sacrifices here. And then this guy was a psychiatrist, still is a psychiatrist, had been at UC Irvine for 15 years, had been very concerned about, he was a professor of ethics and things like that, loved what he did. But all of a sudden, he's looking at this and going, wait a minute. You want people to have a shot. You're going to force a shot on college students, and you're not going to give any consideration to people who've already had COVID like he did. He had it a month after I did in 2020. At that point, he went, wait a minute. And he asked questions, and he got run out of the establishment, and he's got a new book out called The New Abnormal, The Rise of the Biomedical Security State. And what's interesting about this book, and I've read many books on COVID, I've interviewed some of the people who've written them, what's interesting about this is the apparatus, the mechanisms are in place to be able to allow them to lock us down again much more easily because of how many things we put up with the last time. It's pretty scary stuff. And so anyway, he's going to join me next hour. And just so you know, when I talk to people who've written books, I only talk to people who've written books, and I get these pitches all day long in my email box. I only talk to people whose books I think you're going to get something out of, or the conversation. Even if you don't buy the book, you're going to get something out of the conversation. I'm not here to sell people books or sell other people's books for them. But when somebody has something to add to the conversation, I think you're going to get something out of it. That's why I talk to somebody. And sometimes they write books, sometimes they don't. But generally, this is a great book. I highly recommend that. I read it this week. And I know you don't have kids, you can do these things. It's another thing too. When I talk to somebody who's written a book, I always read the book. Always. Because if I don't care, you're not going to care. I don't have some producer go through and pull a few quotes for me. I read the whole thing. I don't bother. Maybe that's a waste of time. Some people think so. I don't know. I don't think so because I'm learning something. That's what I'm all about. All right. Halloween tomorrow night. Where's my, do we have any Halloween music, Ethan? I know we're going to be playing that throughout the night. What do you got for me, buddy, to give
me
the Halloween music?
It is coming. It is coming.
I have to wait another break, Ethan? Is that what I have to do? You're going to make me suffer?
Well, maybe it'll pop up at a random time. How about that?
You just never know. Yeah. All right. So because, are you doing Halloween? You home tomorrow night?
I'm here tomorrow night. I am here. So I am not going to be able to be passing out the treats this year.
Boy, the candy has gotten pricey. $22 for a 220 pieces or something like that of candy. And I've only eaten 50 so far, so I may have enough.
Hopefully it makes it to tomorrow night.
Right. You're supposed to buy the stuff that you don't like. And somehow, oddly, I don't do that. Just saying. Between me and my husband passing through and grabbing a handful out of the cabinet every time we pass through the kitchen, hopefully we'll have some left.
You think that's a coincidence or no?
No, I don't think it's a coincidence. I think he knows it's there. We know it talks to you when it's in the cabinet.
No kidding. But I believe you.
Yeah, it's gotten very expensive this year with Halloween candy. But you know what? Here's the thing. I am not going to take that away from kids. During COVID, my husband and I sat out on the porch and handed out candy. So this is October 2020. We handed out candy. We thought, I don't know who's coming, but darn it, these kids have lost enough this year. And we're going to sit out there and we're going to hand them candy. And if the parents want to come and fumigate it like the Ghostbusters thing or whatever, then they can. But the parents were so nice and they said, thank you for doing this. And we said, we are happy to, because it, you know, it's just, to me, it's just grace. Now, by the way, every year, and I'm a person of faith, Ethan is a person of faith, every year the topic of Halloween comes up and, oh my gosh, your kid's going to turn into a witch. If your child, no, or Satan worshiper, stop, just stop. To me, Halloween is an incredible example of grace. Think about this logically. When Americans can't agree on anything, we can't agree on anything anymore. All of a sudden, people all over America will buy candy for people they don't even know. Children who may be complete brats, who have maybe been brats all day long. And we as Americans all get together, not everybody. I know some people don't participate. I understand. Nobody's obligated. But isn't it nice? I mean, I went to Walmart the other day. I wound up getting my candy somewhere else. But went into Walmart and most of the candy was gone. Now, maybe people buy it for their own consumption. I don't know. But we just get together as a nation and we do this. And the kids dress up. And most of the kids I see, probably 99% of the kids I see, are walking with parents. And it's just so sweet to see the kids and their mom or dad standing on the sidewalk while they come up to the door. I mean, I just find it to be a great night. I truly enjoy it. And it's not about Satan or worshiping witches or devils or any. Come on. Come on. You're not going to give the kid the princess dress some candy. I think people read too much into it. That's my personal opinion. By the way, you can follow me Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, Heidi Harris Show, Heidi Harris Show, Heidi Harris Show. I'm on Facebook Live right now doing this on the Heidi Harris Show Facebook page if you want to watch me do this. So interesting, a story that they had on CBN News about pastors and what pastors have to say about Halloween. According to a new survey by Lifeway, 71% of pastors encourage people to invite friends and neighbors to church events at or near the holiday. Okay, fine. And, you know, some people do like trunk or treat, depending on where you live and things like that. Neighborhoods will do it. And I can understand that, too, because you're worried about your kids. And now this year we hear about fentanyl and the Skittles. So I don't know what's going on with that. I'm not saying it's in the Skittles, but we've heard stories about those kinds of things and various candies. I don't know if that's happening. Certainly the people who make those candies aren't going to let that happen. But maybe parents are going to be nervous. Gummy bears that have, you know, stuff. I don't know. But apparently just 13% of pastors encourage people to avoid Halloween. 34% now recommend that people hand out gospel tracts, which is fine. I'm good with that. I mean, if you want to do that. What I used to hate was when you went to somebody's house to get candy and they gave you something else, like, I don't know, a pencil or a, you know, a notepad or I don't know. Just don't give me that. Just give me candy.
How about the carrots? Oh, no. Or the toothbrushes.
Oh, no.
Awful. Evil. That's true evil right there, Heidi.
Yeah, those people are wrong. I don't want your broccoli. I want the candy, please. And my parents always would inspect everything. We got to a certain age, we'd walk the neighborhood by ourselves. You know, 3, 4, 5 kids, we'd all walk with forget that little plastic pumpkin. We had the pillowcase. We weren't messing. Plastic pumpkin, please.
Trick-or-treating turns into a sport the older you get.
Absolutely.
Who can get the most candy? It is serious.
Exactly.
Serious stuff out here.
Absolutely. And it's dog eat dog. And we'd bring it home and our parents would take a look at all of it, make sure. Because back when I was a kid, there were stories about the razor blades and the candy. And there was a story about somebody who some kids got poisoned, but it turns out their father did it.
Oh, my goodness.
But here's the thing. At the time, that story circulated and everybody went, oh, my gosh. But it took a long time before the truth came out. Nowadays, the internet would have the truth out in 60 seconds. Unless, of course, your last name is Pelosi. And yes, we'll get to that. All right. I promise you we're going to get to that. But I just did want to mention this other thing. There's apparently an age disparity when it comes to pastors who discourage Halloween. Apparently, the older pastors tend to discourage Halloween and the younger ones don't. And, I'm just saying, if you grew up with what was the Buffy, the whatever, Vampire Slayer, or if you're old enough to remember Bewitched and things like that, come on. It didn't make you want to turn into a witch. People just need to lighten up. That's all I can say. All right. Anyway, so have a great Halloween. Hope everybody's excited about that. All right. A lot to get to. Obviously, we're going to talk about the St. Louis shooting and something that I know, God bless him, Mark Cox and Annie and Mark Reardon have been on this all week long. And of course, Ryan Wiggins, too. There's a lot to talk about. But one aspect of it that I find fascinating is, you know, they look at the guns, 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 but they're missing something. I don't mean the other hosts are, but the mainstream media is missing something big. So we'll get to that. And don't forget, Dr. Aaron Cariotti is going to be joining me next hour with his great new book about the biomedical security state. It's frightening when you think about how much information they're gathering on you and the mechanisms in place now to be able to make your life even more difficult if there's another lockdown. We'll get to that and much more right here on The Heidi Harris Show. This is 97.1 FM Talk.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Well, it's Halloween weekend. It's kind of rough that it's a Monday night, right? I guess the kids won't be coming out so late, but we're going to participate. We always do. We have a lot of kids in our neighborhood. Actually, that's a lie. We have a lot of kids who come to our house who don't live in our neighborhood, and we don't care where they come from. I know there are people who say, well, those kids don't live around here. Who cares? I'm sorry. Does someone care? Hello? I don't care where they came from. I don't care if they live in my neighborhood. They're kids. And maybe they live in an apartment complex where no one participates, so they come on over? Fine. Come on over. Happy to see you. Happy to give you the candy. I'm not giving out the full candy bars. That's not happening. I never have done, especially not this year. Can you imagine? With the amount. Who was it? There was a football player. Do you remember this, Ethan? Years ago, they said gave out full-size candy bars. And it made news. Do you remember who that was?
I do not off the top of my head, but I can do some searching for you.
Yeah, probably not Tom Brady because he just lost 50% of his income. That was a nice segue, wasn't
that
it?
That was really smooth.
Was that really smooth? Okay, so let's talk Tom Brady because I know you're a sports guy. Can I just say, I don't know anything about their personal life. I don't live in their house. I don't know what their arguments are. But he's coming across as the biggest selfish jerk in the planet. You know, his career's dying. His team sucks right now. That's not all his fault, but the team sucks. His career is going down the toilet. And now he's getting divorced. I mean, she's just done with him. She's done with him being selfish and caring more about the game than anything else, I guess, right?
It's pretty sad. It's hard to tell, like you said. We don't know from this side what things look like on the other side, right? I mean, behind closed doors. But I tell you what, I find it hard to believe that I wouldn't really sit well with me going out and working when you don't need to anymore. Tom Brady has proven all he needs to prove. He's the greatest football player of all time. And he's had this, he has a family, he has had a marriage has lasted for quite some time. And after announcing he's retiring, coming back, for what? For what? I don't get it.
I don't get it either.
From the outside, it doesn't really look good for him. I understand, like, the frustration. Man, it seems like you're choosing football over your family, over your marriage here. It's pretty sad.
And here's the thing. I don't, once again, like you said, we don't know what went on between the two of them. But I can tell you this. When you are married, and I'm a child of divorce, I have lived through this, and I was about the same age as his kids when my brother and I, when our parents got divorced. There's nothing worse than the conversation when you sit down with your kids and say, dad's moving out or mom's moving out, or it's just the worst thing in the world. And the thing I don't understand, even, and you're right, he doesn't have to work. He's waiting. What, he's got a $325 million contract waiting for him in the booth or something like that, wasn't it?
It will be something ridiculous like that.
All right. So God bless him. I hope he's good. I don't know if he's going to be or not. I don't know. Tony Romo, crappy quarterback, great in the booth. So, hey, you could be a much better analyst than you are a quarterback. But Joe Montana was terrible when they tried to put him on the desk. So, hey, you never know, right?
Right. And even then, I mean, yes, $325 million, that is a boatload of money. But Tom Brady doesn't need that money. He doesn't need that money.
He doesn't.
Like, he has all the money in the world right now. So even with the divorce, he's going to be A-okay financially. All these guys are at that, as successful as him, have played as long as him. So, you know, at the end of the day, it still seems very, it's sad. It's sad to see that that's kind of where ideals are and for different people in today's world.
Well, here's the thing. If you, even if that's not the problem, the football is not the problem, you owe your children a darn good excuse as to why your marriage went down the hill.
Right.
Why you are no longer living with their mother. And all you have to be able to say to your children, maybe they're too young to hear some of this, I did everything I could to hold the marriage together. I have a friend who got divorced last year. And trust me, I'd have gotten a gun and a shovel long before she put up with a lot of stuff. And she tried to hold her family together. God bless her. And she put up with it for a very long time. And she did everything she could. So she can look at her kids and say, I did everything I could to try to make this work. And, anyway, it doesn't matter. But the point is, even if the football had nothing to do with it, even if, then you still walk away and say, I'm sorry. My family means more. I'm going to go and take my wife to Costa Rica and fix this while I have a chance. You're not going to fix your marriage when you're on the football field on the road. That I can promise you. Even if football had nothing to do with it. How many people have done that? I know lots of people who've done that. They've left a job. They've moved to a different city. They've gotten away from bad in-laws. They've done something major to save their marriage because it takes a lot of effort. And I cannot believe that he's just going about his business. And then I saw a picture the other day taking his kids out to a movie. Yeah, that's what they need. A Disneyland dad. I had one of those. And by the way, my dad and I were very, very close. He was fantastic. But it's not the same when your daddy is not in your house every day. And I'll tell you something else that happens about divorce. I've got other stuff to get to tonight, but since we're talking Tom Brady, and since we know all about his life. Another problem with parents who get divorced, and it sounds like it's amicable as far as, you know, the money, it sounds like it wasn't too hard to split up because she had more money than he did, and the kids and this and that. Okay, they're going to spend time with the kids. Well, what happens is when you're not living in the same home, then the parent who sees them less is going to be the Disneyland mom or dad. Let them get away with more things. All of this junk that's going to go on. And then the kid starts playing one against the other. That's what I did at that age. Okay, I'm raising my hand. And the next thing you know, the kid goes and lives with the parent who has fewer rules. That's what I did. That's what happens. You're not on the same page. Even if you say you're on the same page now, then you bring in mom's new boyfriend. If she has one, I'm sure there are a lot of guys that you want to date her. And Tom's new girlfriend probably has, you know, one. I will not have a problem getting one of those. And now you've complicated everything. Christmases are worse. Thanksgiving's worse. And as a child, you grow up and you're having to decide who you want to spend the holiday with. And they put it on you, which is such crap because children shouldn't have to make that decision. Now it's, well, I spent Thanksgiving with my dad. Now I spent a Christmas with my mom. I mean, it's outrageous. I don't care how many nannies they have, how many cooks, how many chefs. This is a disaster for the kids. It's a disaster whether you work, you know, at whatever job you have or whether you're a multimillionaire. It's a disaster. And it makes me sick. And I just think no matter what, he could have just said, I am done. My career is over anyway. I'm stepping away. He wouldn't have to say that, but I am stepping away to focus on my family. How many times have we heard politicians say that? Now, most of the time when they say that, they don't really mean that because that's never their motivation. But people have done it. People have walked away from radio shows and TV shows and different things because they need to focus on their family. And that's what he should have done. And he's just looking like a selfish jerk at this point. And I'm just stunned. I don't understand it. why he did what he did. Or once again, I don't know what's going on, but it seems to me, or certainly she's portraying herself this way, that she spent the last 10 years focusing on his life and his and the kids, raising the kids, which is important, stepping away from her career to a large extent. You know, she gave and gave and gave. And then, okay, we have a deal. You're going to walk away and I'm going to be able to do some stuff before I'm too old to model. And boom, he's back in, on the field like an 8-year-old boy in the you know, football clothes. I don't get it. Okay. I don't mean to be mean because, you know, truly, it's not my life, but very, very upsetting. All right. The only thing I'm going to mention about St. Louis, because I know our wonderful hosts at 97.1 FM Talk have talked a lot about the St. Louis shooting over this last week. It's terrible. I mean, this kid was crazy. Thank God the cops got there so quickly. Thank God they stopped the obvious massacre that he was planning. Two people is too many, obviously, to be killed. But, you know, there's been a lot of consternation about the entire situation. By the name, by the way, you probably know his name is Orlando Harris. No relation to me. I'll blame this one on me. But apparently, here's a kid, and almost always there's something like this going on. He had some kinds of mental health issues. And he, the cops were there at the house 9 days before the rampage. His mother had asked the officers to remove an AR-15 that he had, okay, saying he had mental health struggles. And apparently, and I don't know all the details, but there's no, this is all coming out little by little. Apparently, the mom had done everything she could to try to get him mental health help. And it's not easy. If you've ever lived with or known somebody who is mentally ill, it is a nightmare trying to get them the correct help for the problem. It's very difficult to try to find a bed for them, be able to afford it. You know, once they get to a certain age, you can't keep them in involuntarily. It's just very, very difficult. But apparently she had the cops take away a gun from him. Okay. And apparently what happened is somebody else got, you know, the gun, some third party got the gun. It was a family member. Do you know if we ever heard, Ethan, who that other person was who had the gun?
Not that I know of, or not that I have seen or heard.
They said that when the police came out, the gun was transferred to a third person known to the family. Okay, good. It's a good idea. That's a good way to handle it. And then somehow he got it back. Now, there was a shooting at a Waffle House years ago. I believe it was in Tennessee. I'm doing this from memory. I should look this up. But what happened was this kid had said that Taylor Swift was in love with him or he was in love with her or something. Went to the White House to talk to President Trump, did a bunch of other crazy things. And they took his guns away. He lived in Illinois. They took his guns away, but his father had an Illinois license. And his father said, no, that's okay. You can give me the guns. I'll make sure he doesn't get them. Okay, fine. Then he leaves town, goes down, I believe it was to Tennessee, and shoots up a Waffle House with the guns that his father had had the cops give him. So listen, the principle is this. There's only so much that police can do. It sounds like Orlando Harris's mother tried to do the best she could. I want to know, and I've not heard who had the gun. Now, it doesn't mean he can't get another one. I understand that. I don't know where he got his money. I don't know anything about those details. But somebody who knew the family had the gun, and somehow Orlando Harris got the gun back. That, to me, is where we get stuck. Thank God the cops were there so quickly and prevented a disaster, a bigger disaster than it already was. But most of the time, somebody close to them either knows something or looks the other way or something else. We don't really know all the details, but everybody wants to immediately go to guns. If he fails a background check, okay, then he gets a gun from a private owner. There's only so much anybody can do. You know, you can only take so many rights away from people and live in a free society. That's really what it comes down to. It's very, very difficult to do that. And I know there are people are criticizing the governor, Governor Parsons, and this and that. And, you know, the cops should have taken the guns, but the cops don't have the legal right to take the guns. And then some people said, oh, yes, they do. But if you don't have a red flag law, you know, to me, the cops did the right thing by not taking away things that they don't have the right to do. How many times do we hear stories all over the country of cops just going in and taking all kinds of things? You never get them back. They take your guns, they take your computers, they take all kinds of things. You know, supposedly that's evidence, and sometimes it is and sometimes it's not. You know, and you have to fight to get these things back. I want to know who the person was that got the gun and gave it back to Orlando Harrison. I don't know. I've not been able to determine that. So if you guys know more than I do, please free, you can text me on the Heidi Harris Show Facebook page where I'm doing this live. I don't know who that person is, but that's where it's always something like that. Almost always. You know, they had there are so many shootings and get on the list. But for example, in San Bernardino, when there was that shooting in an office a few years back, a neighbor saw these people loading all these weapons into the car, didn't want to say anything because they were clearly Muslim and didn't want to be profiling. Okay. So most of the time, somebody around the situation knows something. And, you know, it sounds like Orlando Harris's mother tried to do the very best she could to get this kid mental health help, from what I can gather. And, you know, nowadays, you know, kids are mentally ill and their way to deal with a problem or be, I don't know, be famous. A lot of times they think they're going to be famous if they pull off some school shooting, or they don't care anymore, or they're mad because some girl turned them down. I mean, you can't get into the head of these kinds of people because they're not normal. Their thinking isn't normal. Normal people go through things in life and handle it without wanting to shoot up a school. Normal people can be, you know, bullied in school. And believe me, there's a lot of that going on that's terrible. But there's some of that I put on the parents, because the parents don't yank them out of school. And sometimes the parents should yank their kids out of school. Oh, but I don't have time to homeschool. Well, give me a break. We all figured that out in 2020, didn't we? But you can't get into the heads of some of these people who think they're going to suddenly be famous. They've never been anything in their entire life. They've never been popular. They've never been, you know, whatever it might be, relevant. And all of a sudden they think they're going to find some relevance by killing a bunch of innocent people. So of course it doesn't make sense. It makes zero sense. And you can only do so much to try to stop the next one. That's a problem. But it breaks my heart, and I hate to see these kinds of things happen. How did he get into this school? You know, that's another story. You know, obviously he was able to breach security. So thank God the cops were there quickly. You know, there's only so much you can do in a free society. You cannot prevent every possible crime. We live in a free society. And if somebody had a background check and failed it, okay, well, and then they take the gun away and they give it to somebody else who gives it back to them. Huh? So I don't know. I don't know. We don't know all the details. And we're not going to know the details for a while. Speaking of details, oh, brother. I don't really know what happened in San Francisco with Nancy Pelosi. I'm seeing things online that it's... let me just say this. Nancy Pelosi is... okay, I'm trying to be very careful here. Not that I need to be careful about her, but politicians will do anything to get elected or reelected. We know that, right? And politicians will take any situation and turn it to their advantage politically. We all know that too. Left and right, by the way, will do this. So when this thing first happened, my first response was, hold on a minute. How did somebody get into their house in the middle of the night? You know, you're the Speaker of the House. You'd think you'd have better security, right? And then when this thing started floating around that he was looking for Nancy and walking around the house, this crazy guy, they tried to say he was, you know, Trump supporter or whatever, conservative, running around the house saying, where's Nancy? Really? Now, when that happened, I knew the whole thing was a lie. I don't know how much of it's a lie. Clearly, he was hit by a hammer. But did he invite that person in? There are a lot of people who say that on the net. I don't know. Did he invite him in? Was he somewhere else earlier in the night that he brought somebody back to his house? Don't know. That's what they're saying. But I guess what upsets me the most about these kinds of situations is you don't really know. It's one thing to say everything that happens. Okay, so my husband is doing whatever that I don't necessarily want to talk about in public, or my wife is doing whatever. Okay. That's one thing. But, and some of that's not my business, although it speaks to your character if you're running around doing some things that I've heard about politicians doing. Definitely speaks to your character. And the problem is there are a lot of people who say what goes on in your personal life is none of my business. You're cheating on your wife, your husband, you're on the down low. Do you know what I mean by the down low? You know what I mean, right? When a guy is really into guys and they call it on the down low, they're not that public about it. Or, you know, a woman's doing something, whatever. Okay, both sides do it. And you might say, well, it's none of my business. Well, here's why it's my business. Because if you do things like that and somebody can blackmail you, and you're an elected official, then it becomes my business. That's the problem. And that's why a lot of people don't say anything. And I know of a particular politician in a state where he had an affair And people found out about it on the left, and he was able to get elected, but he basically didn't do anything to fight for the conservatives the entire time he was in office because they were holding this over his head. Now, ultimately, it did come out along with some other things and ultimately cost him his seat in the Senate and whatnot. But that's the problem. You can be blackmailed if you're running around doing whatever nefarious behavior some people are saying has been going on here. So I don't know what really happened in the case of Nancy Pelosi or any, you know, some of these other politicians. But what I don't want to see, and because it's too late for this, is them using this and creating a narrative that's completely false about what happened. Why was this guy in his house? How did he get into his house? Some crazy guy with a hammer is able to get into the Speaker of the House's house? She didn't have better security than that? This multi-million dollar mansion? I don't believe it. Who's buying that? Anybody buying that story? I'm not buying it. And I'm not buying it running around the house looking for Nancy. Okay, if you really wanted to kill a politician, wouldn't you know where they are? I would think you would. If you really, really wanted to kill a politician, and nobody should do that. I don't care who they are. Nobody should do that. If you really wanted to, you would know when they were home. Hello? Like you'd wait till what? The August recess? Oh, now's not a good time. They're probably back in D.C. doing some stuff. I mean, come on. You're too dumb to come up with a schedule? I was reading years ago about a particular actress who's married. I don't want to mention her name because, I mean, it was public at the time. But some guy was stalking her for years and, like, got a hold of all of her flight information when she and her family would go out of the country to visit relatives and things like that because she was from a different country. Crazy. I mean, these people are nuts. They have no life. I mean, how many times has Taylor Swift had to deal with people in her house? It does happen. Madonna's had people break into her house. I remember reading years ago, Ashley Judd had some crazy guy who stalked her for years walk into her kitchen when she and her husband were in the kitchen. Can you even imagine Jerry Lewis? Remember him, the old comedian, had somebody who was after him for 10 years, stalked him, terrorized his family for 10 years. So there are people out there, but when they're out there, if they're a pro, and obviously they're usually crazy, so they're not necessarily pros, but if you really know what you're doing, you want to assassinate a politician, you make sure you know they're home. So the whole thing about him walking through the house, where's Nancy? Where's Nancy? Yeah, okay. Great narrative, Nancy. I don't think anybody's buying that. So nobody wants her husband hurt. I think that's wrong. I don't think it was political. We'll just leave it there. Well, not the things I'm seeing and hearing. But, you know. It's a lot I want to say, but I can't prove it, so I'm not going to say a lot. But yeah, and that's another thing. One of the listeners, Cindy, says, if they don't have security cameras, that's ridiculous. Exactly. Where's the security footage? You know there has to be security footage, right? I mean, I know people who make zero money practically have security cameras on their house. They're not that expensive anymore. Don't tell me there's no security footage. I've not seen it if there is. You're the Speaker of the House. You don't have a better system than that. So this thing just stinks to high heaven. And she's going to try to push it. And I don't know that it will affect her politically one way or the other. But they're trying, of course, to, you know, oh, all Republicans are horrible people. Look what they did. And on Twitter, just the minute after it happened, it came to light. The lefties are all out there screaming about, oh, that's, you know, it's a Trump supporter, January 6th guy. Okay. But I'm getting to that point now, and I hate to be that way, but I am anymore. When I hear the first story, I go, yeah, okay, what's the truth? I mean, so often you don't hear the truth anymore that you just say to yourself, I don't want to believe anything. That's why people don't have faith in media anymore. I mean, I give you my opinion based on what I've heard and seen and read, but I'm not going to, you know, I'm not going to stand and tell you I know what went on that night because I don't. Not for sure. I know what they're saying. And then Elon Musk, who just took over Twitter, was tweeting about the fact that Paul Pelosi apparently had some, you know, extracurricular activities. He tweeted about it and then he took it down, which is kind of surprising because Elon Musk usually isn't that guy. He's been cleaning house and throwing CEOs in the dumpster and getting rid of a lot of people on Twitter. We'll see if it changes. I don't know. I got an email tonight from a listener. By the way, if you want to email me, you can. Heidi@HeidiHarris.com. Heidi@HeidiHarris.com. Listener emailed me and said that he was on Trump's Truth Social and put a couple things on there that got him, you know, kicked off or put in, you know, Truth Social jail. And so he's, you know, I think most of these big tech companies, I mean, I got kicked off of YouTube and Vimeo. I thought Vimeo was pretty clear, but it's not. I'm on Rumble now with my videos. But, you know, many of them, so many of them are run by liberals that I don't know if there's any place that's truly conservative out there anymore. And it's frustrating because you feel as if you put the time and effort, and I've got a Facebook page and a Twitter and all this stuff, and you feel like you put the time and effort in to post things on Facebook or Twitter, and I'll put things on Facebook and, you know, I'll have five people respond. I have thousands and thousands and thousands of people on my Facebook page. They don't see it anymore because Facebook just makes sure they don't. And that's just terribly unfair. Not that I'm entitled to be on anybody's social media platform. I am not. But if I take the time to create an account that you want me to create, and I then get all these followers, and I put things up there to keep these followers engaged and put my time and effort into it, and then you don't let them see it, that's just lying. If you want to kick me off, just kick me off. But don't let me put all this effort in and have nobody see it. And that's what's happening. And a lot of conservatives are dealing with that on all these platforms. I don't know what Elon Musk is going to do with Twitter. I have no idea. I find it useful. I know many of you are not on it. I get it. I find it useful because there's a lot of stuff on there. And there are people on there who are, you know, for example, vaccine injured people or doctors or people talking about the, you know, the COVID shots in ways that are very objective. And there are some interesting political people and things like that. But and I don't deal with trolls anymore. I don't engage them. I don't deal with them. I just don't waste my time on any of that kind of stuff. So it can be a good platform if you, you know, you don't have to waste your time on it. It's good for news and things like that. But I'm getting to that point where when a story breaks like this Pelosi thing, I just go, oh, yeah, really? What's the real truth? Just too convenient. And then to say, where's Nancy? He's running around the house with a hammer. Where's Nancy? Yeah, okay, hammer. The number one choice of assassins, hammer. And by the way, didn't that hammer belong to Nancy's husband? All right, I'm just saying. Okay, can't make it up. An election coming up pretty soon, and it's not looking good for the Democrats. We'll talk about some of the reasons why next. And Dr. Aaron Cariotti, who is a very interesting guy, he has been one of the heroes of COVID from the day one. He's a doctor, was a doctor in California at the University of California in Irvine, stood up against the mandates. He wasn't somebody who said, I'm not going to go on board with, you know, some of the COVID restrictions. Okay, I get that. But, you know, this idea of forcing kids and people who've already had COVID to take a shot, he stood up, lost his job, lots of other things, and he's got a new book out. But it's a fascinating discussion in this book about what he calls the biomedical security state and the apparatus in place already that they're going to use the next time they try to lock us down. So you want to hear that's coming up next hour. Coming up next, we'll talk about how the Republicans are losing it. Also, what do Black people say about defunding the police? That and more coming up right here on the Heidi Harris Show.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
It was a graveyard smash. It caught all in the flesh. All right, Halloween. Get that candy, guys. If you haven't already bought the candy, the kids deserve it. Well, maybe they don't, but they deserve it that night. Glad you're here. Coming up next hour, Dr. Aaron Cariotti. You want to hear what he's got to say about the biomedical security state. Pretty frightening because they basically have the mechanisms in place now to make it worse the next time. You think they're done locking everybody down? Do you really think they're done? I don't think so. He doesn't either. So you want to hear this conversation coming up next hour. I cannot wait. All right. So here's some good news. Let me start with this. The GRIO, I don't know if you know what the GRIO, the GRIO.com is a website that's focused on Black people. And not that you have to be Black to read it because I've read it many times, but it's a Black liberal website. All right. Focusing on that kind of thing. And they did a survey. This is great. And they found that 82% of Black respondents want police funding either to be kept about the same or increased. Whoops. They didn't like that too much, did they? See, that's the thing. These people inside the Beltway have no idea how real people live. They have no idea. I don't know anybody talking about abortion. I don't. Everybody I know is talking about, how am I going to fill my gas tank? I mean, every time I look at my car and the lights, yellow lights on, I go, oh. You know, it's another house payment filling my car. But it's just, you start to decide, I'm not going to go here. I'm not going to go there because it's going to be too expensive, right? How much candy should I buy this year? Because, you know, it's awful expensive. Everybody I know, normal people, are thinking about all these things. But, you know, these white liberals who want to tell black people we need to defund the cops, they don't understand, especially if you're a black person, you don't live in a rich neighborhood. Not that all of them don't live in a rich neighborhood, but if you live in a neighborhood that's where it's a little bit poorer, you're more likely to be victimized a lot of times, and you can't defend yourself with expensive, you know, security screens on your windows, or you may not be able to afford a $1,000 gun or whatever. They don't want to defund the cops. Crazy. That is so, so funny. Carrie Lake from Arizona, a lot of people consider her a real bright spot. She says, if you go into most black neighborhoods and talk about defunding the police, they look at you like you're the craziest person on the planet. Exactly. Exactly. That's so funny because this is a totally left-wing site aimed at black people, and they found 82% don't want them to defund the cops. It's so great. Now, in Florida, it's really going well for DeSantis, obviously, because people are moving there in droves, and they're appreciating freedom. But apparently, according to Politico, not a right-leaning site. See, this is why I read the left-leaning sites. I'm not somebody who just spends all my time on, you know, these right-leaning sites, because what do you learn if you're on them? Apparently, national organizations have donors, and donors have all but abandoned the Florida candidates because they know they're going to lose. Unbelievable. Michael Bloomberg only contributed $1.5 million to Democrats this cycle. He vowed $100 million to Florida in 2020. The Democratic Governors Association spent just $685,000 this election cycle. It gave $14 million to Florida in the past two governor's races. What? Anyway, I could rattle off a lot of numbers. No one likes numbers on the radio, especially not me. But you get the point. They don't understand. The Democrats don't understand. People appreciate freedom. They want their kids to be able to go to school. They don't want the kids wearing masks. They don't want their kids stuck with vaccines, which aren't vaccines. And DeSantis has already come out and said, I'm not going to mandate the kids get vaccines to go to this shot to go to school. You want to do that for your own kid? Go ahead. But he's not going to go along with that. That's what it's all about. But they're just not getting any responses. So it's just great news. It's just great news. And the Democrats, they don't know what to do with themselves. They have no idea. They have no message. I don't care where you live in the country. All the Democrats are running on is abortion. Okay. Now, abortion may be a big deal to some people, especially men who benefit from it. But that's not what anybody I know is talking about. You know, I go up to the dog park with people of all different ages, or wherever I go and meet people. Went to a Halloween party last night. No one's talking about abortion. They're talking about how much things cost. And the Democrats haven't figured this out yet, so they are going to get their butts handed to them, and it's going to be kind of fun to see. I cannot wait. All right, coming up, Dr. Aaron Cariotti. He has been a hero when it comes to fighting mandates and standing up for what he believes are the correct principles. And by the way, he's on the right side of history. Lost his job, lost a lot of things, but he is persevered, has a new book out. You want to hear from him. That's coming up next hour on The Heidi Harris Show. Coming right back on this Halloween weekend.
Get more at 971talk.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.